You for this day, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we know that your hand is over all things. We know that you love us more than we can imagine. And so, Lord, we just give thanks to you. I pray this morning you just touch me, that I'd speak words of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would be open to the Spirit. And so, God, we just praise your holy name and really let this sink deep within to our souls and what you're trying to share with us. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, why don't you turn to Malachi chapter 4. Now, that's going to be easy to find. Last book in the Old Testament, last chapter in the Old Testament. Malachi 4, verse 1. Now, the title of the message is The Day of the Lord. Now, the Day of the Lord is mentioned quite a bit through the Old Testament and New Testament. So we're going to look at it a little bit. And let me read in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root or branch. Whoa. I mean, that's the last chapter in the Old Testament. Kind of sums things up. And again, it's repeated in the New Testament. And basically what it's saying is that the world's failure to turn to God will end up in utter destruction. And what he says, I mean, there is an end and there's an utter destruction. It always fascinates me that, you know, people will look in and say, well, when is it coming? When is it coming? And the Bible actually tells us. It's real clear, and I don't know why it doesn't answer everybody's question. He says, no one will ever know. So I don't know why people study that. I really don't know when. I mean, the clearest verse you got in the Bible about that. No one knows. So you don't know. I always have this thing, you see this, where people say, Jesus is coming back such and such a date. So I just chalk it up. It's not that date. Now, they don't know, you know. So that's just one I can chalk up, you know. So I always get, when people guess at it, I just write that off, you know. So, because it clearly says, we don't know. And it says, I'm not even going to try to explain it, but it does say it. It says, only the Father knows, the Son doesn't even know. So Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. Father's going to say, okay, now, you know. But, and the other thing, the day of the Lord, it's like, I am. Be a little facetious, but, you know, everybody like, global warming, you know. And we can do certain things. But this, the day of the Lord is global warming. I mean, so they're right. It's going to be global. He comes back and he says everything ablaze. So they kind of got this right. What they got wrong on both sides, you can't do anything about it. He's going to come back. It's going to happen. Now, so the Lord tells us of this day, and he tells us it's coming, and he tells us of this utter destruction. And you go, well, why? Well, I think one of the big reasons why he tells us, it helps us to keep things in perspective. Keeps things in perspective. Well, I'm going to build my mansions here. Well, yeah, you can just up front what's going to happen to it. I'm going to build my life here. All my focus is the things and the pleasures here. It's all going to burn up. And that's what the Lord, it's going to burn up. So it gives us a perspective that what we're doing here, and if it's just the things of this world and stuff, there's no future in it. It all is going to be burned up. And so as a result, we can look, okay, Lord, what are you doing? And so we have our eyes focused on God and the eternal perspective, because that's what it should do. It should do. Say you're going on a vacation, and you're going on a cruise, and it says you're going to XY point. And so you're on this cruise, everything's furnished for you, it's loving it, and you get the XY point, and it just says, when you get the XY point, it's sinking. Would you enjoy your vacation? No, oh my gosh, I want off this boat, you know. Well, see, that's kind of what we do in this world. Hey, we're just happy. Now it's going to burn up. Whoa, you know, I better take a different. Look at this. See? So that's one reason the Lord really wants us to know what's happening, and that there will be, everything will be set ablaze. Now, and so it also shows us that we also know when we read this, things get so bad, and even I think there's even, now this is just me thinking, I think there's even certain things that happen to nations and things like that where they just kind of get to a point of no return, and the Lord just moves it. Okay, done, you know. So I think there's kind of, he works up to it in certain areas, but there will be a worldwide. Now, also, I think it helps us to know that when things get so bad, and you look at it, they're so bad, there's not any other answers. Just so bad. Well, there is an answer. He's going to come back, and he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. He is not, God is not, like, worried. He doesn't, like, gosh, this wasn't what I was thinking. It's like, no, I'll just take care of it. My time, I'll kind of have intermittent places, I'll take care of it, but in the end, I'm going to take care of it. So this is what we understand about the day of the Lord, that he's going to step in, and he sets everything ablaze. And I think certain people have a problem with God about that. You know, it's like, well, how could a good God do that? And it's kind of like, how could a good God not do that? You know, it's a total rejection to him. It's a total rejection. It's okay, that's fine. Boom, and he comes back and he takes care of everything. Now, so here's the message. You're waiting. This is the summation of the message. There's not any more reason to elaborate on this truth. This is the day of the Lord. Just end the message right here. So you see the title of the message. Wallace ended it in 3 minutes. Okay, it's over. Because there's really nothing to talk about. It's going to happen. He's going to do it, and he's telling us he's going to do it. And so, and we don't know when it's happening, so there's really not anything to add about it, okay? But it's real clear, and it's repeated. Now, it's repeated all through the Old Testament and New Testament. So believers and Old Testament believers knew this. They knew this. Now, however, the Apostle Peter makes a great observation about the impact of this truth. He makes a great observation. Peter says this, talking about the day of the Lord. He goes, since all these things are to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? Now, isn't that profound? That's what he said. It's going to happen. I mean, he didn't learn. But if it's going to happen and everything's going to dissolve and you understand it, what sort of people ought you to be? If you understand this, should impact your behavior. It should. Everything's going to burn up. It should impact your behavior. You're on this cruise ship. It's got everything you need. And it's going to get to point X, and it's going to sink. It should impact your behavior, you know? And so it's the same. But that's what Peter says. And that's the reason the Lord tells us about this. It's temporary. Everything is temporary. Now, so we know this truth. It'll impact our behavior. Now, in the last chapter of Malachi, the last chapter of the Old Testament, there is a verse, and I'm going to be honest with you. There's a verse, and for however many years I've been reading the Bible, a bunch. Okay, a bunch. Just the multitude times that I read the Bible, I'm going to confess to you. I would read this verse in this chapter of Malachi, and it didn't make any sense to me. It was out of context from what God was saying. It was like a throwaway verse. Can you believe I just said that? Can you believe I actually let that come out of my mouth? But it didn't fit. The day of the Lord, wham, 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 and you got this stuck in there. And I thought, well, you know, you read it and go, okay, Lord, and move on. But this time is going through it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like central to what God is saying. You know, isn't that the truth? Here it is that I'm saying, this is a throwaway verse. And God going, it's the central point to what I'm saying. Pay attention. There are no throwaway verses. If you don't understand it, all that tells everyone is you don't get it. You know, and it's like, okay. I hate it when God does that. You know, it's like, you don't get it. So, but here's the verse. Here's for, now again, think. I want you to put the same boat I am. The day of the Lord, everything's burning up. You know, he'll save the righteous. Everything's going up in smoke. You know, it's just no hope. You with me? Then he says this, Malachi 4:6. Or in the middle, he says this, Malachi 4:6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. What? I've shared with you all that I'm a big guy on context, okay? Because context explains the whole thing. And to this is out of context. I said, like, God, this is out of context. It doesn't belong here. Can you see error? See any error in that? And so it's like, okay, it's here for a reason. Then all of a sudden, it's just like a beaming light shines down, or, you know, or God reached down and slaps me on the cheek or something. But something started to click when I looked at this, and then it was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And the thing at first that jumped out at me on this Malachi, we're just looking at Malachi. You want to look at the day of the Lord, you get, there's so many verses, and, oh, my God. But look here at Malachi, and what it's saying here that's jumped out, it says, lest I come and strike the land. Fathers turn to children, children to the fathers, or I'm going to strike the land. What's keeping God from striking the land? Fathers turning their hearts to their children, and children turning their hearts to their fathers. That's the delay. That's the delay. And when that stops, he comes. You see that? There it is. I mean, why else is it in there? On the day of the Lord. That's not a long chapter. It's not a long chapter. So you see this, like, oh, my goodness. So here's the heads up for the message. It's kind of, you walk in and you see on the bulletin, day of the Lord. Okay, that was just a head fake. Okay, it's not really what the message is about. The message is about fathers turning their hearts to their children and children turning their hearts to their fathers. That's what the message is about. It's going to be about. But that seems what Malachi is talking about. That's the point. What are we going to do about the day of the Lord? Nothing. What's going to happen? Everything burns up. Period. You know, I mean, it's like that. We don't know when it's coming. But here it says, before that time, we've got to have this ministry. Before this time, when the Lord comes back, we have to have this ministry. And the ministry is, based on this verse, fathers, turn your heart to the children. Children, turn your heart to the fathers. Therefore, we need to take it seriously. Therefore, seemingly kind of a vanilla verse, seemingly not compared to not that important, it's like, no. It's central to what I'm telling you. Amen? So, y'all with me? Are you in the same shock I was? Huh? I want you to be in the same point of shock than I was. So, now when we look at this, so you understand we just switched gears, right? We just went from the day of the Lord to hearts of fathers and hearts of the children. All right? So what we see here is this future ministry before the coming day of the Lord is described in terms of like bridging a generation gap, okay? Fathers, children. Now, the focus here in Malachi, Old Testament, okay? The focus here is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, which is, I have over Exodus 20:12. This is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. I mean, it kind of, honor your mother and father, period. I mean, in fact, you're talking to your kids, that's what you say. Honor your mother and father, period. And nobody does. He said, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land. Doesn't that kind of ties to Malachi, doesn't it? then what happens in the New Testament? The New Testament presents the same truth. Same truth. Repeats it verbatim in Ephesians. Have an overhead. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. The Apostle Paul says, honor your mother and father. And then, my Bible has this in parentheses. Of course, the original Greek didn't have parentheses, but it does say it. Honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise. Because if you do something, I promise you something. If you do something, I promise you something. What? That it may go well with you and that you will live long in the land. I mean, isn't that something? It's like I'm bridging this gap and I'm communicating this issue and it has a promise of your well-being. It has a promise of your children's well-being in this. Now, I'm going to confess something else. You read the Ten Commandments, okay? I don't know if I remember all ten of them. But, I mean, there's some heavy stuff. Thou shalt not kill. Whoa. Thou shalt not steal. Whoa. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Whoa. You know, it's like, okay, that big time stuff. But you know what's in there in the Ten Commandments? The fifth. You shall honor your mother and father. I never got it. Okay, that's good. Another throwaway commandment. I mean, I don't mean it. But I did. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, you pass it. Oh, but it's like, no, it's a central commandment. It's a central commandment. Honor your mother and father. It may go well with you and you remain in the land. What's Malachi talking about? Same thing. You see what I'm saying? So if I ever get up and say, this verse is not very important, write it down, study it, because I've totally screwed up. You know, and God is speaking to you directly to you, and I don't get it. I mean, that's what it's like. Oh my gosh. So, not that I didn't think it was important, but I just didn't put it on the level of murder. Okay? Violating this verse wasn't on the level of murder. And it's like, no, it is. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So you can see where I'm going here with Malachi, with the Ten Commandments, and what he's saying about the day of the Lord. And it's like, what, Lord, you're communicating a depth of a message here that I think I've personally been missing the total ramifications, okay? I mean, I'd give it a head nod. I give it a head nod, but I missed the total ramifications. So what I see here is that this recognizes that the home is the school of the community. The home is the school of the community. For Israel, see, they're going to judge the whole nation because fathers weren't giving their hearts to the children and children weren't giving their hearts. I'm going to destroy the whole nation. It's the center to the Christian community. It's a center to the church, okay? Is this family in the home. You see what? The importance, how that comes out? So in the family is a world in miniature. The family is a world in miniature. Where authority, submission, love, loyalty, obedience, trust are learned as nowhere else in life. And with the Word of God as a guide in the home, societies will be changed. We're going to vote for somebody and we get somebody in office and they will change society. No, the family changes society. Change happens in the family. And that changes society. See? And so, I mean, it's incredible. And today we see the mission of achieving this success is people embrace Christ, because they embrace Christ and what he says. Now, this is my week, okay? You can see it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So we see this fifth commandment identifies honor due fathers and mothers, because they have responsibility. But Malachi, what he highlights here, And this happens, Old Testament and New. What he highlights here is the need for the father's involvement in the leadership of the family. See, he didn't leave mothers out. He just proclaimed, father needs to take the leadership. That's what he's saying here. That's what the Bible's saying. Now, both the father and mother fully live out their Christian faith in their home so that the most natural thing in the world is for the children to trust Jesus with their whole heart. Just natural. It's just the natural thing to do. They can't imagine doing anything else, you see, because of what they've been exposed to, what they see, what they see. Now, so as you look at this, you think about it's so much, it's not so much what you teach, it's what you're exposed to. You know, isn't that the truth in all cases? Now, what I want to do is, the scriptures is full of this, by the way. So what I want to do is, Deuteronomy gives information for fathers and mothers that are necessary for instruction. Okay, Deuteronomy gives some great instruction here. And this one particularly in chapter 6. And chapter 6 is great to look, and it talks all about there about your children, your fathers and mothers and their children. So let's look at what God says about this instruction. Okay, Malachi has established how important this is. Okay, you want to delay the wrath of God? This is important. Okay, not the other thing, but that's what he's saying there. So let's look at this section where just kind of condenses the responsibility of fathers and mothers. Okay, turn to Deuteronomy. I've overhead here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5. First, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5. First, the father and mother's personal walk is all important. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't exhibit what you haven't seen. Their personal relationship and their walk is all important, who they are in their very being. Did you ever notice you can't fake it in your home? You can't fake it in your home. Your spouse will pick it up, the kids pick it. You can't fake it. It just doesn't happen, all right? So, but the other thing is who you really are and who you project is who you really are will be picked up by your children. See, and this is what's so important for each individual. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, okay, and it's going to talk about teaching and mothers and fathers. So you could say he's talking to everybody in the country. He's saying, hear, O fathers and mothers, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. There it is. That's the criteria. Can't teach it unless you walk it, unless you believe it. Now, take this. Do you remember that the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? You remember that? What's the greatest? He quoted this verse. This is what Jesus did. By the way, it shows you how important the Bible was. Jesus didn't make up a verse. He quoted one. I mean, if he said anything, that's good, man. But he didn't. He quoted this verse. They said, what's the greatest commandment? And he goes, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then he adds, all the commandments hang on it. You do this, the rest of it happens. See, we're trying to do all the stuff and make it happen. No, you love him with all your heart, and it just happens. It just happens. So that's what he's saying about to mothers and fathers. Now, the second, we're just in context, okay, but this one made sense to me. This in context, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. The second thing is the flowing out of the mothers and fathers and mothers' personal walk is the diligent teaching of their children. See, the diligent teaching of the children flows out from the father and the mother. What flows out from the father and mother is who the father and mother are, and it flows out. See, okay? And what flows out can't be something that you're not. You see what I'm saying? Being a great mathematician can never flow out of me. Nothing. Okay, I flunked algebra 1. It's just not going to flow out of me. Not going to happen, all right? Now, so that's just a humorous example. However, it is true. Anyway, but so what you see here is that based on your personal, and what's your, I love the Lord God with all my heart and soul. It's not, I do this. No, I love the Lord God with all my heart and soul. And it flows out, and what it flows out into is teaching your children. The first thing, that they will love the Lord God with all their heart and soul. And they'll look at their father and mother and say, oh, that's what it looks like. You see what I'm saying? That's what it's saying. So it says, Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking to fathers and mothers who love the Lord God with all their heart and soul. That's the first verse. Okay? So, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. It's the home. It's the home. The community. The home. It's the community that changes everything. And so here we have this picture of what Malachi was saying. You want to delay the wrath of God, you know, in your life, in a nation, in the world, turn your heart to your children, your children's heart to you. But the first thing you do in Deuteronomy is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the overflow is you speak it into your children. When? Now, fathers and mothers, you can say when. When? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, you're the one there. You're the one there. So you see what I'm saying? So he's making it real clear. So we're seeing the magnitude, of what God is calling about the family, the magnitude of fathers and mothers. See, government's not going to change the world, you know. It's not. Church is not going to change the world. Families change the world. Families make good churches. Families make good governments. Families make a good world. And this is what Satan does. Satan does. He destroys the family. Satan is not attacking the United States. Satan is attacking the family. That's a point. That's a base point. The rest of it's, you know, the rest of it is just camouflage and stuff. No, he's attacking the family, the very base of the family. So when you see this, there's a great understanding. So it helps us to understand, okay, wow, we see this. And so we see the knowledge of God is the foundation for any knowledge. Look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, I want knowledge. Okay, I'm going to major in whatever. I'm going to take such and such class. Where's the beginning of knowledge? Where's the beginning of knowledge? Fear of the Lord is the beginning. God is in control of everything, and so that's the beginning of knowledge. Then it goes on in that verse, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or fools despise godly teaching. Fools despise godly principle. Fools despise the things of the Lord. You see? And that it's telling us. So we have this unbelievable information. We want to have knowledge. It's the fear of the Lord. Well, how do you want your kids to have knowledge? Teach them the fear of the Lord. And then they build knowledge. You don't have any fear of the Lord? They won't have fear of the Lord. And they won't have knowledge. and they'll never receive knowledge. Not knowledge that will take them through life. You see what I'm saying? It says, it tells you right there. So without God, all teaching will be on a false premise. Without God, everything becomes relative based on human thinking. You ever talk, a Christian principle with people that don't know Jesus? I mean, they just round and round and round and round, you know. But if they know Jesus, then all of a sudden, everything's being, there's an understanding, there's a foundation. But without Jesus, it's all relative. Just relative. Just goes on forever and ever. It's relative. And this explains the insanity in our school system. That's why they can't figure out which bathroom to use. This is what they, well, they have boys or girls, whatever, flip a coin, you know. Who? Insanity. All you have to do to get to this insanity is pull God out of it, and the insanity comes forward. You watch people's lives, you counsel people, you talk to them, and if God is removed, their thinking is close to insanity because the foundation has been moved. It's relative. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's power. I was throwing this verse way in Malachi. Oh, yeah, it's not, you know, I don't want to talk about that. What is he talking about? You know, he said, I'm talking about everything. This is the main point of the whole Old Testament. Oh. Now, so God's knowledge is the source of confidence. Kids, I don't know that. I don't, you know, and they're getting, what they're getting. Well, you got this stuff, you just pick. And no, they're not picking, okay? Look at Proverbs 14:26. I'm sorry. Yes, Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Now read that. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence of who he is, where he is, what's happening in the world, his relationship with God, God working in the world. Everything's making sense, and he can walk through. So the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children have a refuge. They can pull in under mom and dad. Pull in under mom and dad and feel secure and seeing what mom and dad, why mom and dad are secure and everybody else is going crazy because mom and dad are a refuge. Or they're supposed to be a refuge. Amen? I mean, doesn't this make sense? Aren't you glad I figured this out? I mean, gosh! Okay, proper training of a child will endure throughout their life. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why? At home, every piece of their being has been fed into by their parents. Everything of who they are has been fed in from their parents. And when they come into adults, they can't hardly help but be who the parents are. Or the deep down convictions. They'll be different, guarantee you. All right? But they're going to be the convictions of soul and walking through this world because of how they've been trained up. Here's something fascinating. I could actually use some names on this. But in counseling, it's so fascinating. We're in counseling different people and how damaged they are by their childhood. Things have happened on... My son's laughing at me. That's not fair. Come on, you should accept him. He didn't accept that. Anyway, but children, they come to counseling and they're damaged by their childhood, or something traumatic has happened in their childhood with their parents. Now, so we're talking like 15 years. I mean, how many? Okay, you go, maybe 18 years. Okay, you're out. Okay, so you're just talking 18 years. Something, okay? That's stretching at 18. Okay, we'll go back about 15. But you can see from 1 to 18. So in your lifetime, as old as I am, I think 1 to 8, oh my gosh. But what happens, people, because of what's happened to them in those formative years, in that 18-year period, that 15-year period, hangs on with them their entire life. I'm talking with people who are 50 years old. This is not a lie. I'm talking with people that are 50 years old and tell me about issues that they're dealing with that happened to them when they were 15 and 16, 13 and 14. You go, I'm thinking, all my empathy, say, good God, you're 50 years old. No, it's ingrained into who they are. It's ingrained, and it's incredibly difficult to get over that and overcome it, and sometimes it takes a lot of counseling and other people to walk along with you to get you out of that situation. Because why? It's so ingrained in you by your parents. Because they had the major influence. As God intended, they were supposed to have the major influence. It just wasn't positive. Now, so you have this counseling, people in their first 10, 15 years that you're dealing with when they're 50, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. What if what was ingrained in them in the first 15 or 18 years, what if that ingrained in them was things of the Lord? It was so ingrained in them, they can't get over it. Amen? They can't get over having good stuff ingrained in them. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, that's what he's talking about. It's like, I do this, but I know my mom would roll over in her grave. Then, okay, that's good. You know, but you won't focus it on Jesus. You see what I'm saying? But it's all of a sudden it dawned on me that the parents, what there's ingrained, that you can't even counsel God out of a kid raised in a Christian home because it's grabbed him. You see, that's what the Bible's saying. Amen? So that is powerful. That's why he's saying, tell your kids. Live it out to your kids. And this is what's going to happen. And so it stays with them. Now, as I studied this section of Scripture, I was just struck by the fact that the family was holding off God's judgment. Right? Now, it was in Malachi saying, okay, the judgment of the world. But I do believe, and it talks about it in this way, about the Lord judging along the way, like he can judge a nation along the way, not destroy the whole world. I think he can judge people and everything else along the whole way. He'll bring his judgment. He's just not up there twiddling his thumbs. But when I saw this, that the family, how important the family was in delaying this judgment, then I was also struck by Malachi, how important it was to have the father's leadership role in the family. See, and look around the world. Look around the world. Satan in the world. And one thing, that certain things are open for attack that nobody will say anything about. You know, Christianity, you can attack Christianity. Nobody's going to say anything about it. Okay. You can attack men. Nobody's going to say anything about it. What's the news? Just attack men. That's okay. They're free game. You can attack fathers. Free game. In fact, if you watch any movie or sitcom or anything, the doofus is the father. Always the father. Every time. See? Why? Because it's the money. The whole thing is to destroy the leadership role of the man. In the church, I went to, be real careful, went to a service, and it really did undercut the leadership of a man in the family. Now, the point was to exalt the woman in the family. And it didn't do that. It's really self-destructive. It really was difficult for me to sit there. But you see it. But what the Bible says is, no, the man is supposed to perform a leadership role within the family. Okay? I don't know how you read the Bible and not see that. So it makes sense that Satan and the world would attack the man and the family. Not discuss it and what's proper. No, you attack it to do away with them completely and their authority. See? And the Bible says the exact opposite. Therefore, and then that term that sentence I just read to you, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. The family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Now, so as I'm processing this, I just felt led to, we're going to spend about next 8 weeks, and we're going to talk about the family. We're going to talk about the family. And I've done sessions on the family before, men and women and their relationship, but I really want to pull in more about God's ordination. I want to pull in more about how the Holy Spirit works within the family, how the Holy Spirit gives power to the family, and how He works through that family structure. And so we're going to do that. And we know that with a healthy husband, wife, there becomes healthy children, right? And so it's all going to be tied together. And so I'm really looking forward. I'm a little trepidation. It's like, oh my gosh. But we're going to do that. And so as we see that a healthy marriage relationship teaches, it doesn't teach, it demonstrates healthy values to children. Also, that a healthy marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Okay? And this message I was listening to that really bothered me in a believing church, they exalted the woman, but they did not even reference the leadership role of a man within the family. Didn't even register it. So as we look at that, that's one of the backdrops. In fact, I may introduce that to every message, as we do it. Okay. Healthy marriage exalts the woman, demands leadership by the man, and teaches values to the children. Okay? So I'm going to read that every time. So everybody's, oh my God, he's going to read that again. But anyway, you'll remember it. Now, also, as I was looking at this, I had thinking, what about the folks that are single? Okay, you're single. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, if they're single, they could get married, So this information would help equip someone for a future marriage, so that's good for the single to be here. In fact, it would probably be really, really good for the single to be here, all right? Also, having those that are maybe not going to be remarry, widowers or something like that, but they don't foresee getting remarried, it still would give, pass on insight and knowledge, and therefore being able to give words of comfort and encouragement to those around them who are married. Okay, you have certain sort of experience. I've had people come up to me and say, well, I'm divorced, I'm widowed, and you shared this stuff on marriage, and it was totally depressing. I felt totally out of place. Now, in fact, I've had several people tell me, when you preach on that, I feel out of place. Well, no, in God's body, if you learn, you have your own experiences, and if you learn things about the marriage relationship, then you're not out of place within couples. You can share those things and share insights and words of encouragement. So you should be involved like everybody else. You have tremendous insight. You shouldn't carry being divorced or widowed as a tag of shame or something. No, you have an opportunity. You can continue to learn and share encouragement with people around you and bring the body together. So I think I believe that is the truth. And then the other thing that is fascinating is that Scripture speaks of marriage as a picture of Christ and the church. Now, it does it in several places. Christ is the groom, the church is the bride. So it pictures that picture, so there's a picture of eternal relationship between Christ and the church that's shown through the marriage. And therefore, it gives us a deeper understanding of our eternal relationship with God. So we have it. So I'm thinking, what's our benefit? As we understand how man and woman are supposed to work together, we have a better understanding how we're going to work for all eternity with Christ as the head of the home, as the head of the home. So, y'all good with that? You good? I'm already hung. I mean, I've already committed, so I can't change any of it. All right, well, let's just close with this verse. I said, this will help us in this age to face with power and confidence things that are going on around us. Therefore, with this in mind, we'll close with what the Apostle Paul said was a profound statement about the marriage relationship. Look at Ephesians 5:32. We have an overhead, Ephesians 5:32. Talking about marriage, Paul says, this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. Amen. That's the reason it's important. Malachi, that's the reason it's important. Ten Commandments refers to Christ. It refers to God's complete revelation. It's what he demonstrated in the marriage. Amen? Hallelujah. I think we should pray on that. And y'all can pray for me the next 8 weeks to how that relates and what we can learn about one another, how we can work with one another, and it's like how we can enjoy our differences. I know each one of you are enjoying your differences right now with your spouse. You just love it, okay? So, and how this God is working this together to reveal himself and to show his power, to show his power. I think a lot of times people, as we get ready to go into this virus, everybody's staying home, I think couples are really getting close. Really getting close. And I think that this would be very appropriate. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you that all this is sifted through your hands. You are working out an unbelievable tapestry, weaving things together, and you're revealing the truth to us in your word of what you're doing so that we can be a part of it. We can be used by you. And when that last day comes, they can say, well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.